Today on Real Radio.
It's the God of the Bible, Yahweh, who says, concerning this thing of giving, put me to the test. Give, and I will give back to you. Pressed down, shaken together, overflowing out of abundance, it will be restored back to you. Now watch, here's the danger.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series through Paul's second New Testament letter to the Corinthians. We're looking at the opening verses of chapter 8, which cites an example of generosity among believers at the time. Now, of course, both the Old and New Testaments are full of passages that speak of the topic of money and the godly ways in which it's all to be handled. This is what pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs addresses in his lesson called Giving What's Been Given.
God showed us from the very beginning, when we used to have a Folgers coffee can on the table for donuts and coffee as the home fellowship began. It was never a dollar. We didn't have dollars to spend. Do you know what they are? Anybody know? Thank you. You got it. They're tools. When you start looking, if you're involved in ministry, or for that matter, as a Christian, which we all are involved in ministry, if you start thinking that, oh, look, I've got $500 in my pocket, the Christian should never think like that. The Christian should always think, I've got 500 tools in my pocket. And that should stop your way of thinking for a moment and reconsider what in the world you're looking at or thinking about buying. I'm taking tools that God has put in my work belt. To build what? You see this? Watch the wisdom to this. Again, God gave us this. You can't build a man's kingdom with God's tools. You can only build a man's kingdom with dollars. You see what I'm saying? Did you know that our nation's leaders way back when said that all of our coinage in America needs to be embossed within God we trust, because if God prospered us, we would need to keep a level head about it? Did you know that? In God we trust. I don't know if that's true as a nation today, but it's true as this church goes. And it's true as you as a Christian, that we are to trust God. So this is vitally important. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, you can write this verse down. 1 Corinthians 16, Paul is initially speaking about the Jerusalem issue. And it relates to verse 1 of chapter 8 here. He says, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay aside something, storing up as he may prosper, that is, as God works in your life individually, that there be no collections when I come. This is cool. Paul didn't want any offerings taken when he would come and preach. And when I come, whomever you approve of by your letters, I will send to bear your gift to Jerusalem. Paul is saying, Christian, meet the needs to further the gospel, and to those that are in need among the household of faith, you will be acting out God's grace in your life. Giving is an act of God's grace. Christians, we are to be gracing others because that's what God has done to us. And there's nobody in the household of faith in this church that must or should consider themselves so poor they cannot give. We'll come to more studies on this, but nobody was as poor as the widow at the temple when Jesus saw her put in her two widow's mites, or two quarters of a penny. And Jesus said, did you see that woman? Did you see her? Can you imagine the disciples are looking, what, that poor lady right there? Jesus said, that woman gave more than anyone else. If you're in the kingdom of God and you've got two bananas, God, don't be surprised if God says, hey, why don't you pray about giving one of those bananas to somebody who doesn't have anything at all? And all of a sudden we get down to this, but I want my bananas. See, I mentioned bananas, but you can insert tools for dollars there. If you and I were on some deserted island and there was no bank and there was no money, I mean, honestly, we could have $50 million in our pockets, but if there's no store, and we're with Tom Hanks with that stupid volleyball, and we're on that island, and listen, what's immediately what becomes the commodity? Whoever's got the most bananas and coconuts is rich. Are you with me? And then God would say to somebody on that island, now you need to pray about giving up some of your bananas and your coconuts. Oh no, it's okay, God. Here's 50 million bucks. God would say, I don't need the money. But the guy next to you, he's hungry. Give him your coconut. Do you see how this works on our hearts? It's what we esteem as valuable becomes the idol. And a Christian ought not to have tools or dollars or resources or anything else as an idol. It's not ours. Giving is an act of grace, and our God is a gracious God. Point number two in verses 2-3 is giving what's been given means this, that giving is an act of sacrifice. The amazing thing about this is that God has invited you and I to give with him, to join with him in giving, and it's a sacrifice. Verses 2 and 3 says that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy, the churches of Macedonia, and their deep poverty, they were poor, abounded in the riches of their liberality. See, what in the world does that mean? It sounds like a legal statement, and it almost is. Paul is saying something absolutely brilliant. Church, do I have your attention? Are you guys bored? Are you okay with this? Are you here? He's saying this. He's saying, listen, here's the deal. Forget about the amount. This is what they had. They had realized that God has been so good to them in their life that they began thinking that what they had was ready to be given away out of their liberality. Say, how could they be liberal in giving? How could they give so much when they didn't have so much? It's because the ratio value given to God is always 100% when you're giving it with the right heart. For example, if the offering went by today and you put your nickel in there and you're like this, oh man, here it comes. Oh brother, here it comes. Get something out. Get some money out. Just put something in. I don't look like Scrooge or anything here. Here it comes. And tink! And there it goes in, and it just goes. But listen, do you know what God says to you today? God says, you didn't give a nickel. You said, no, I gave a nickel. No, you didn't give a nickel. Just pause right there. If the offering was going by this morning and somebody wrote a check for $1 million, and oh boy, just wait till the pet. Oh, I'm going to hurt someone's feelings right now. Oh man, listen, I'm dead serious. And it gives me great joy to do this in a moment. Wrote a check for $1 million today. Just wait till the old pastor sees that check. For 24 years, I had a good pastor who told me, never know what people give. It'll cloud your decision-making regarding their lives. For 24 years, since the inception of this church, I've never looked at someone's check. I don't know who gives what. I refuse to know. Why? Because if you come to me, Mr. Johnson, or whatever your name is, and you're sleeping with bubbles, but you're a $1 million giver, let me tell you, I don't know Satan all that well, don't really care to get to know him, but I know this much about him. He would play into my ear, hey, Jack, kind of don't be so hard on that guy. That guy gave $1 million. I refuse to be put in that place of compromise. I'm not going to do it. By God's grace, I'll never do that. So some of you who are thinking, well, I'll put that in the offer. Oh, boy, here it goes. Yeah, there it is. Now they'll know that I was here today. Well, I won't know. And how much did you give? Well, more than the guy that gave the nickel. No, both of you gave exactly the same amount. Both of you gave nothing. This is not the Bank of Calvary. Think of it. If we were dealing in dollars, that would be different. If we're dealing in tools, you gave nothing. Because God will only use things sanctified to him to build his church in the world. And I don't know about you guys, but this is liberating. This stuff's exciting. Now, I don't have much time. I'll have to deliver the real message to second and third service today. But you guys, I hear this all the time, especially for some reason, the women's bathroom. I've heard the women's bathroom at this church is really nice. I'm hearing that it is. It is. Well, that's great. Did you know that when you walk around there in those bathrooms, did you know that gentlemen, plural, from Newport Beach area, they gave us that stuff. They didn't even go here. They went to Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa, but they loved what was happening here. They donated that stuff. Listen, wait. This is a pretty big place. And when we put money down to buy this property, the owner of this property started laughing, and then he turned to me and a few other guys in the room and began to yell at me in French, and then began to cuss us out and told us to get off the property because we insulted him by the offer to buy this land. And then God has his way of dealing with people. We couldn't afford what we offered. We asked God, if you're in this, have the guy say yes. And if you're not, have the guy say no. And let me tell you, we were praying, oh God, our faith says that we should believe you to meet the need, but our doubts tell us, have the guy say no. Did you hear that? And a month later, the guy calls us up and says, I want to meet on that property issue again. So we met, and he said, how much are you willing to pay? We didn't even have it. And the church didn't even know. The church didn't even know we were in negotiations on property. All we knew, we couldn't hold any more services at the old building. And we offered him $5 a square foot. That's how you buy property in California, by the square foot. $5 a square foot. The guy started cussing again and screaming at us, get out! Get out! A few days later went by, phone rings. Let's meet on this property issue. The man said, yes, I'll take the offer. We began to panic and pray, or pray and panic. Didn't matter, we did both. True story. We never had a thermometer. We didn't even let the church know. You didn't even know. And within 2 years, nobody died in the church. Nobody left us a large sum of money. The church just grew, and we were just teaching the Word of God verse by verse. And you know what happened? What God's people do when they're being fed the Word, it affects their life. And they began to give. And so the bank says, what's going on there? Because there's this ratio that we know about how churches give. And there's something going on there. What's the deal? We don't know. Before we put our first shovel in this ground of this property you're sitting on, in two and a quarter years, this place was completely paid off. The dirt was completely paid off. No thermometer, no announcements. And it wasn't long after we moved into this place that God paid this whole place off too. When God guides, God provides. This church is debt-free by the grace of God. This church, you say, well, I never heard that before. Well, look, okay, but you know what? You know what God does? God allows us as a church to help other churches and, listen, to get the Word of God out around the world. There's stuff we'll get into the next weeks ahead of us. You're going to be finding out how you are investing and blessing people, even of other religions. You are blessing Muslims who are Muslims because they were born into Islam. They don't want Islam. They were born into Islam in Africa. You're blessing them. You're feeding them. You're taking care of them. You are equipping a school in the jungles of the Amazon, reachable only by foot or by helicopter, where Muslims around the world who convert to Christ are being smuggled out of countries and brought into South America at a school in Brazil, and they're being trained and then redeployed back into their Islamic nations as born-again Christians spreading the gospel. Covert Christian activity. On and on we can go. Why? Because we've been graced by God. He's been so good to us. So listen, what do you do about that? Yeah, what do you do about that? If you view it as dollars, you're going to hoard it up. And for what? Do we believe Jesus could come back today? Yep. Then spend it. What? What? Look, I believe Jesus could come back today. Why would we want to get raptured and leave the Antichrist a bunch of money? Your acts of benevolence to those hurting in this body on a monthly basis would stagger you. So we're going to go through this series together. And for those who view their dollars as their dollars, you're going to have a rough ride. This is my wallet, by the way. Do you see any cash in here? I believe in a cashless system. Because I have all women in my life, my daughters, my wife. And I learned a long time ago, forget the cash. It'll be gone. I've learned to live without cash. But on my money clip, which a friend of mine, Yoni, made me in Israel, it says here, 1 Timothy 6:6, it says in Hebrew, godliness with contentment is great wealth. And that's what surrounds my plastic tools. But if in this series you're going, oh, I don't know. Well, relax. We're not going to ask for your money. We don't want your money. The other thing is this. We will challenge your God. Oh, what do you mean? What? Don't say that so loud. Oh, no. I'm on good ground. I'm on good footing. We will challenge your God. We will challenge our God. We will challenge your God if your God is mammon. You're going to have to decide who you're going to serve. The other day I heard that song by Bob Dylan. Remember that? Remember when Bob Dylan was saved for like a month and he wrote that song? You got to serve somebody. Remember that? And it's true. So if mammon is your thing, then watch out. Because did you see that picture of mammon? He got his arms knocked off. Your God has no arms. And he's only about 2.5 feet tall to begin with. And he's naked. And he's got to have Irene carry him. That's a mess. Or the God of the Bible, and no other place, on no other topic, the God of the Bible invites you to challenge him in this area. Did you know that? It's the God of the Bible, Yahweh, who says, concerning this thing of giving, he says, now look here, put me to the test. Did you hear that, church? Put me to the test, he says. Give, and I will give back to you, pressed down, shaken together, overflowing out of abundance. It will be restored back to you. Now watch, here's the danger. He says, put me to the test. I love God's integrity. I love God's heart. God will never be indebted to anyone. So you shouldn't be as a Christian. I shouldn't be as a pastor, right? God's not. So watch. He says, this area, together, God would say, let's do something. Let's knock the arms off that little God. Right? Let's team up. I'll show you what we can do with some tools. We'll take a hammer, and we'll knock that little naked God's arms right off. Church, when we were in the old warehouse building, we didn't, and this was my fault, honestly, it was my fault. It was my idea that in the early days of this church, we never had an offering. We just had a box somewhere, and you could give. And it sounds, listen, let me tell you something right now. I'm not knocking, and I cannot judge any other church who does that stuff. That's between them and God. But I personally began to become so proud inside that we were a church who didn't have an offering. Listen to me. Wow, we're so blessed. We don't have the opportunity. We don't give the opportunity to have an offering. We don't take an offering. And that began to play in my mind. And God has his way of getting a hold of us, does he not? In one service, at the end of the service, I said, in Jesus' name, amen. And everybody was heading home, getting out of there, standing up to leave. This little old lady, could have been from Pasadena, I'm not sure, but she comes up, and I've never seen her before, and I've never seen her since. As far as I'm concerned, she was an angel. She came up and she said, when are you going to give us the opportunity to worship God in all ways? And I said, we just worshiped him in the word. We just worshiped him in worship. We just worshiped him in fellowship. And she said, but we didn't worship him. And I said, what do you mean? She said, I came here today to give my offering to the Lord. And there was never the opportunity to honor him in this. And she said, you need to repent of that. Why are you hiding that? And I said, well, ma'am, I don't want to come across as a church that's asking for money. She said, it doesn't matter what people think about what you're doing. You ought to know what you're doing. And you ought to know that you kept me from worshiping God in fullness today. And she turned and she walked away. I had to share that with the church the next Sunday. I said, things have changed here. So what we did, and sometimes when I'm up here and the opportunity is such, it's what I'll say. As we have the ushers come forward. The ushers are not coming forward. Just relax. I would say, as the ushers come forward to receive this morning's tithes and offerings, this is an opportunity for those who call this their home. This is for those of this church. If you're visiting for the first time, or if you're not led to give, or you're not a Christian, refrain from giving. It's for those that call this home. That came out of that rebuke of that woman. So church, as we go forward, just know this. The power that you're going to exert in a moment to rise from your seat will be by God. The air that you draw to oxygenate your blood cells will propel you out of this building and into your cars and on your way by the power of God. The lights that have been illuminating the sanctuary are by the same power, the same God. The seats that you have, same God. The carpet that is ancient and yet still somehow surviving is by the power. Do you hear what I'm saying? It's all His.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called Giving What's Been Given, a study taken from the opening verses of 2 Corinthians chapter 8. It's actually a mini-series that addresses what some view as a sensitive but all-important topic, that of money and the godly ways in which it's to be handled. Giving What's Been Given is part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look at this New Testament letter, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, just so that you know, if you've taken a particular interest in this topic, Pastor Jack's treatment of money, finances, resources, etc., please know that you're not alone. Here at the Ministry of Real Radio with Jack Hibbs, we've received letter after phone call after email about this often sensitive and really quite misunderstood but important issue of money. And as Pastor Jack has already said, all we really want to do is see it all through the lens of God's written word. Well, this mini-series we've been hearing here on Real Radio is also available for you on DVD. It's the 5-disc set called Tools, Giving What's Been Given. Now, a number of friends of the ministry have reported back saying, it's quite the valuable and biblically based treatment of this topic, and it's ideal for sharing with friends, family, and their local church. And that's why we're making it available just for you. So, our offer, here it is. For your gift of any amount to the broadcast outreach known as Real Radio, we'll send you Pastor Jack's 5-DVD series called Tools, Giving What's Been Given. Again, for your gift to Real Radio of any amount, we'll send you Pastor Jack's 5-DVD series called Tools, Giving What's Been Given. It's the video version of what we've been airing here on Real Radio. Now, whether you call, click, or write, be sure to mention it by name, Tools, Giving What's Been Given. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. You can also call us at 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. Or for the cost of a stamp, write to us and ask for it by name, Tools, Giving What's Been Given. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact can easily be found at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.